Hello, welcome to Expressing Infinity, the Open and Closed Institute's first podcast series
that is basically a cathartic way for me to move beyond my past.
This episode is titled Embedded Ideas.
It's 2012. I'm in Denver, Colorado, and I am getting ready to graduate. I've been interning at this badass letterpress design communication studio under the direction of Rick Griffith.
The best work that you can do in design is pairing analytic framework to a descriptive framework, which is framed by semiotics, which is the art of representation.
And really, it was Rick who instigated this whole project. Rick was playing with the idea of showing the design process. He called it the client engagement chart, and he wanted something that he could show the clients so that they would have a better understanding of what we as designers went through upon starting a project with them. He gave me a little spreadsheet that kind of outlined the process, starting with the client's statement of need. The question is, how do you get from research to a product, and what is actually happening in the mind of the designer throughout this process? So I took this chart and I set forth onto my journey of trying to visualize it. I noticed that most of the steps in the design process had a relationship to time, money, and technology. And very quickly, I decided the way to visualize this was to build a machine that was sorting energy into these three categories.
Time, money, and technology.
I sketched out this machine that I imagined was going to take unsorted energy that represented the client's need, and it was going to go through this series of different manipulations. Eventually, it was going to come out on the other side of this machine, sorted into three clear little buckets: time, money, technology. But the problem was, what was this machine actually going to do to these little things? It became very clear very quickly that I was dealing with something that was very big, and I only had a small amount of time to do it. So the irony begins. Me as the designer began to weigh the constraints of time and technology and my own knowledge, my own technical abilities, my own use of software, the fact that I was creating this video for school, for a certain 3D animation class. Yeah, I began to experience the constraints that were set on me. I felt myself wrestling with the exact task that I was trying to visualize. So as I felt pressure, I was trying to show pressure.
Time, money, and technology.
I was making a film, but I was trying to visualize the possibilities of any medium. What is it that the client wants? I don't know. I was trying to make a video about narrowing down the need into a tangible product without actually choosing a product. So I was trying to create a series of metaphors for these little balls to go through, whether it was like changing size and shape, like a check mark or an X, to represent a choice being made. It's like you wake up in the morning as a circle and you go to the amusement park, spend the day there, you eat funnel cakes and shit, all these rides and all these things that are supposed to like distort your senses. And you came out, you're all fucking tired, you're like, oh my gosh, what a day. And you look in the mirror and you're shaped like a triangle with antlers. You've changed. You've made decisions, and there's no clear way to know exactly which decision ended up with you being a triangular deer. That's what I was doing made no sense. It had no conclusion. The conclusion was that, like, this whole thing's really complex. At a certain point, I lost focus of the original plan of, like, visualizing the design process and was just trying to show complexity. I just wanted to show how complex the mind is and how insane it is that we can even think at all. I'd never heard anyone talk about the vastness of the mind, the vastness of being human. I no longer even cared about design. I just wanted to share something with another human. I wanted someone to feel what I felt. I wanted to share a moment of awe. Simultaneously, I'm running out of time. I'm trying to make this machine represent all possibilities. Let's just take a second to breathe. Whew. This is my graduation project. This is the end of 4 years of school. I got 2 weeks left. I'm yelling at my friends about how a blank piece of paper makes more sense than this stupid-ass machine. I'm trying to figure out how to fake this shit because I don't have time. This is what it comes down to. This is what being a designer is meeting the deadline. And my deadline is approaching. I committed myself to a machine to represent the human mind far too early, far before I even understood how complex of a process I was trying to show. If I was to pretend that I understood time and money, I'd be lying. Tick, 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 tick. I have put my time, I have put my energy, I have used my hands as resources, I have used tick, 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 tick. These ideas, and this idea of complexity, and this irony, and this circling, and it's such a blobby fucking blob, and I'm, oh, it's like I feel something, whoa, there's something inside of me, it's in my chest, it's an idea. Ideas do not exist in a closed system. Ideas exist amongst a million other ideas. Your ideas exist inside of a universe. And this universe is an idea itself that exists in its own universe. These ideas are infinite. It's not the machine that's infinite. It's the ideas themselves. Tick, 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 tick. The machine just becomes a small metaphor in itself for analysis. And it's not really important what's going on in that analysis. What's important is just like the analysis itself. Once we have an attempt at analysis, we can just take the analysis and we just dump it back into the idea space and give it another go. You know, if something didn't work, if something's a problem, like we take the bucket of analysis and we dump it back into the idea space. We cycle until we think we come to a healthy place. You know, we present the analysis to the client and we get their opinion and then we dump the bucket back into the idea space. Maybe, you know, we're sharing the idea space with the client. This is going back and forth. The designer doesn't exist in a bubble. You know, the designer exists in the world, and it's a relationship with the client and a relationship to art history, to the past, to the consumer. Technically, I missed my deadline by half an hour. I passed the class, but Rick was unimpressed and did not feel that the video represented what the studio actually does. Not only did this project start out with me thinking in a very linear way, it started out with me only thinking about design as a job. Now, 4 years later, I have an even more expansive understanding of the situation. And that's why it's taken me 4 years to really get it out. My biggest failure with the project was not thinking about what is our relationship to the ecosystems and our environment. I'm beginning to see ideas not in this abstract world, but I'm beginning to see these ideas as part of the world. So this idea that a chicken is an element on a farm, and the placement of the chicken coop in relation to the garden is an understanding of energy usage. As you even hear this, you're aware that energy is being used. Physical resources are finite, and they're precious, and they're sacred. I hope that the next time you see a circle or a sphere, next time you play basketball or see the sun, I hope you see the vastness of ideas. I hope you're reminded of the system we are all part of. And I hope that the next time you see a butterfly or a hummingbird, I hope that you're reminded that it's an element within a system and that none of this exists in its own bubbles. And that concludes the sermon for today, folks. Let's sing a hymn. That was the Open and Closed Institute's first podcast on a series titled Expressing Infinity. This first episode was titled Embedded Ideas. Thank you.